This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
While U.S. consumers are purchasing less meat due to high prices, the U.S. Meat Export Federation is looking at emerging export market opportunities for U.S. beef. With a large population and rapid economic growth, another region being examined for its export potential is West Africa. Dan Hailstrom, USMEF Senior Vice President for Marketing and Communications, discusses a new USMEF initiative that seeks to identify opportunities for U.S. red meat products in these destinations.
The countries that are part of this project are Angola, Benin, Gabon, Ghana, Nigeria, the Republic of Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Togo. So you have over 300 million people in this region of Africa. And you also have dramatic population growth and dramatic GDP economic growth, averaging between 5 and 8% growth. Those are numbers from last year. So what's driving this? A lot of cases, it's natural resources. Gold, diamonds, natural gas, offshore oil drilling. They're resource-rich, but expertise and manufacturing poor.
Hallstrom says domestic meat production in the region cannot keep up with growing demand, and he sees rapid growth coming to the modern supermarket and restaurant sectors.
They do have domestic industry, but it's small. It's antiquated. The potential is mind-boggling. I was in Ghana 3 weeks ago, and it's very apparent to me that if these economies continue to grow, they're going to be almost totally dependent upon imports. Most of what's going in on the imported beef and pork side are the variety meats. It's beef feet, sinew, snoot, lips, ears, tripe, masks, this sort of thing. And the vast majority is going into the traditional wet markets. Modern retail makes up such a small portion of this region today, but it's there. Everyone was very upbeat about the future of retail and HRI development down the road.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm Joe Sheely.
June is National Dairy Month, and everyone from consumers to dairy farmers are taking the time to celebrate and recognize this hardworking sector of agriculture. Chris Galen with National Milk Producers talks about the re-emphasis of the real seal and why it's important to do so, especially during June Dairy Month.
One of the things that we're doing here is using the real seal to remind people that in June Dairy Month, or frankly the other 11 months of the year, that people have a choice. And in fact, they have more choices now, oftentimes a confusing set of choices when they look in the grocer's dairy case or in the freezer or in the deli case where they keep different cheeses, some of which are made from real milk and some of which are made from things like soybeans and peanuts and rice and hemp and almonds. And so that's one of the reasons why we're using the real seal, is to remind people that they need to look for that seal to assure them that what they're getting is not just real dairy, but it's also real made in America dairy products.
The dairy industry has enjoyed record high milk prices in recent months, and Galen says there's been very little consumer backlash when it comes to the store purchase prices of milk, butter, cheese, and other products.
You're not seeing as many news media reports about record high milk prices. Oh my God, milk at $3.50 or $4 a gallon. It's more expensive than gas. Well, usually that's been the case. Milk's more expensive than gas, and you know what? You don't usually buy 15 gallons of it at a time like you do when you're putting gas in your car or your truck. So we're not seeing as much of that kind of fear-mongering. The other thing that's happened is that other major farm products are also at record highs. Beef, obviously, which is good news for dairy farmers as well as cattlemen, but that's at a record high price. Pork's very expensive because of the diarrhea epidemic that a lot of parts of the country are dealing with, unfortunately. And so all those things are high at the same time, and I think that removes just the sole focus on high dairy prices.
Chris Galen with the National Milk Producers Federation. On Monday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture reported 78% of the U.S. soybean crop had been planted and 50% had emerged. If this season closes in line with USDA's May estimates, DTN reports U.S. ending stocks at 9.6% of annual use would be significantly higher than the current season's record low of 3.8%. DTN grains analyst Todd Holtman says the bearish outlook for new crop soybeans seems reasonable, but the road to harvest could bring some surprises. Holtman says there are two key market issues he will be paying attention to the rest of this year. One is USDA's acreage report, set to be released on June 30th. After the department's prospective plantings report on March 31st, Holtman says everyone seems to know corn acres will be down this year and soybean acres will be a record high of around 81.5 million. USDA's March 31st estimates boast a 90% confidence interval of around 3%, but Holtman says 90% is not a guarantee, and even a 3% smaller planting would put soybean acres at 79 million, which would lead to an eighth straight year of below-average soybean supplies. Illinois' weekly crop and weather report was released. Warm, dry conditions continued throughout the state last week, allowing farmers to continue planting. Statewide, precipitation averaged 0.62 inches, 0.35 inches below normal. Temperatures averaged 74 degrees, 7.2 degrees above normal. There were 5.4 days suitable for field work. Corn planting increased to 98% complete, while corn emerged reached 91%. Soybeans planted reached 85% ahead of the five-year average of 65%. Soybeans emerged reached 59% ahead of the five-year average of 44%. Winter wheat headed reached 88% behind the five-year average of 94%. Topsoil moisture was rated at 1% very short, 13% short, 77% adequate, and 9% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 4% very short, 18% short, 75% adequate, and 3% surplus. Winter wheat condition was rated at 2% very poor, 5% poor, 26% fair, 48% good, and 19% excellent. While the soft red winter wheat crop is looking well, the hard red winter wheat crop is a different story. Market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, went over the situation.
Well, amid all the talk of the good corn crop, good soybean crop, and the good soft red winter wheat crop, there's still a lot of concerns about the Plains hard red winter wheat crop, and that's creating a two-tiered wheat market at this point with a big spread between the hard wheat markets and the soft wheat markets. Harvest has started in Texas and is starting to move into southwest Oklahoma and the southern plains. Early reports put yields in the area at 5 to 25 bushels per acre, test weights in the low 50s to the low 60s. High protein, but the tests aren't back yet to see if that's a quality protein that's going to be good for bakers to use at this point. But we should start seeing a lot more of those harvest results coming in the next few days with temperatures heating up in the southern plains.
It really is quite the tale of two crops when it concerns the wheat crops this year.
It really is two worlds and a very nice crop, although delayed, but that can be good for yield as long as we avoid the significant heat in the Midwest and in the plains, one of the worst droughts in many decades, creating a very, very short crop with producers worried about where they're going to get seed for next year's crop.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. Millions of farmsteads in the United States have been photographed from the air. The 35mm films are still around, and as Todd Gleason reports, it's possible to take a flight of sorts through your old neighborhood.
Those hand-painted photos that hang on the walls of most farm homes in the United States were taken long ago. And the films, well, they still exist. Tom Wolfe of Vintage Aerial is more than willing to take you on a flight through your neighborhood. Just log on from any computer.
You'll see a picture of me and my family in front of my barn, and that's how I got connected with this company. I bought some photos for them over the years, and all over the country they've taken aerial photos from a small plane. And back in the day, they used to send salesmen door-to-door, and they'd show the pictures and sell enlargements, and they saved all the film over the years. And so the photos that I have for you today are from 1966.
That's right. He said 1966. And get this, there are 26 million farmstead photos in the library from 41 states. And Tom Wolfe, well, he's a great guide.
What I have in front of me is the map that was actually in the plane with the pilot when he took these pictures. Now, this is the coolest part because as we scroll through here, not only are you looking for your picture, but you get to see all your neighbors' properties. And It's kind of like walking down memory lane and seeing. Did you grow up in this area, by the way?
Yeah, actually, the first place we're going to, as long as it comes up, is where I grew up.
Okay.
That's
well,
it.
Is, no kidding. You'll probably recognize all these places since you grew up there. Now, this is the next farm north.
Yeah, that's the Conradis.
Okay. Now we're moving on down the road.
That's Altman's. That nice round barn is gone, or the round top. That's the Theobald place.
Okay.
And that's Steve Walsh's. That is my brother Larry's place. And that's Larry's place from the flip side. Called it that one right there.
This is the one you're looking for?
The answer is yes. Mom and Dad bought this place in 77 or 78. And the home that you're looking at was built in about 1860. And the question at the time when they bought it was whether they were going to bulldoze it in or remodel it.
What'd they do?
They remodeled it.
And Tom Wolf from Vintage Ariel let me relive that memory and create one from my home that I couldn't possibly have done on my own. And he can do the very same for you right there online at VintageAriel.com. I'm Todd Gleason.
Vintage Ariel sells copies of the original photos, and the online tour, The Flight of Memory, is part of that process. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.